The philosopher of baseball, Yogi Berra, once said, if you don't know where you're going, you'll end up someplace else. Hi, I'm Rob West. So it's important to plan where you're going, and financially, that plan is called a budget. Planning where your dollars will go. But there may be some dangers associated with budgeting. And Chad Clark joins us to talk about it today. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's always fun to have Chad Clark on the program. He's executive director here at FaithFi. And Chad, great to have you in the studio today.
Thanks for having me.
Chad, as you know, there are some dangers when it comes to having a budget. And by the way, folks might be surprised to hear us say that. So why don't you explain?
Yeah, you don't typically hear us talking about the dangers of budgeting. And let me just start by saying that this is not an excuse not to have a budget. So let's just clear the air here.
Okay.
What we're talking about is that there are some warning signs, some warning labels that we need to be aware of. So if we purchase a tool, it usually comes with some warning signs, some warning labels. My wife and I were originally from New Mexico. Not a lot of trees out there.
Okay.
Moved here to Atlanta and lots of trees. And one of the tools that we use a lot out here is a chainsaw. Chainsaw comes with a lot of dangers and some major warning labels on it. And those are just to help keep you safe and keep other people safe. And so that's what we're talking about here is we're not saying that a budget is a bad thing by any means, just like a chainsaw is not a bad thing by any means. But we have to make sure that we're aware of some of the dangers if we don't use it properly.
That's exactly right. If you want to cut down a tree, you're very glad to have a chainsaw. So let's slap some warning labels on our budget. What do we need to be aware of?
Yeah, we're going to talk just about three dangers that we need to be aware of when it comes to using a budget. Again, these are not excuses not to have a budget, just things to be aware of so that we can overcome them and we can use the tool properly. The first one we're going to look at is a budget can lead us to idolizing money. So we encourage people when they use a budget that it becomes a part of their daily rhythm. But by doing that, you can really start to idolize money as you watch every dollar and where it's going, and it can actually cultivate this love of money if we're not careful. But we can overcome that idolization of money by renewing our mind in God's word and reminding ourselves that God is our ultimate treasure, that our hope is not found in money and possessions. The second danger that we want to look at is pride. When we have a budget and we can start to see success in reaching our financial goals and milestones, pride can start to well up within us. But ultimately, we are not to boast in any of our own abilities. It is God who gives us the power to create wealth, to achieve these goals. And so we should always be overcoming that temptation to pride and boast in self and just turn back to the Lord and give thanks to Him for all things. And then the final danger is relying on the budget more than God. When we have a budget, we start to make decisions off of that budget. And that's great, and we encourage people to do that. But when we feel the prompting and the leading of the Holy Spirit to do something beyond our budget, there's a temptation to use the budget to override what God is calling us to do. So for instance, if you're called to give and you go back to the budget and you go, well, God, I can't give that much, you should discern, well, am I going to listen to the budget or am I going to listen to God? Or if He's calling you to take a new job or to take a step of faith, let's make sure that the budget does not restrict our trust in God, but we maybe take the budget to Him and say, God, I don't see how this is going to work out. But just like in Malachi 3, He says, test me, bring the whole tithe to the storehouse, and He's going to show you just how powerful He is.
I love that. So we have to be on our guard against idolizing money, against pride, and relying on our budget more than God. But if we do that, a budget, as we said at the top, is still a very valuable tool. And I can't help but think that the FaithFi app would help us to budget in a way that honors the Lord because of all the other resources that are there. So for someone in our audience, Chad, who's not familiar with the FaithFi app, quickly explain what it is.
Yeah, we built the FaithFi app really, again, just as a tool. We want to help you on your stewardship journey. But like we just talked about today, we want you to be aware of some of the dangers that come with using any tool, but specifically a budget, to make sure that you're not idolizing money, but that you're putting your hope in your future and your ultimate treasure is only found in the Lord, and that money is just a tool for His kingdom and His purposes. That's what we designed the FaithFi app to help you steward His resources well for His glory.
All right, we're still close to the beginning of the year. This is a great time for you to start budgeting in a God-honoring way. The FaithFi app can help you do it. Download it today at faithfi.com. Just click app or search for FaithFi in your app store. Chad, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
All right. Back with your calls just around the corner, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If you speak English as a second language today, well, today's the day for you. International Mother Language Day. Linguistic scholars today say there are over 7,000 known languages in the world. And for the Great Commission of Christ, that means there are many people and cultures to reach. In Revelation chapter 5, there's a song that rings out in heaven to Christ. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. Did you catch that? It's with the blood of Jesus that people were purchased from every tribe. There's no barrier big enough to stop Jesus from saving sinners. See more of Jesus in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
When we talk about politics, we tend to, as Christians, kind of set aside our faith and say, well, in the political arena, I identify more as a Republican or a Democrat or a conservative versus a liberal. The biblical worldview genuinely is the foundation and the basis for everything that we do, including our involvement in and analyzing civil government.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, live from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee, at the Gaylord Opryland, gathering together with broadcasters and media professionals from literally all over the globe to think about how we can bring the name of Jesus through the airwaves, over the internet and podcasts to literally people to the ends of the earth. It's an incredible gathering, and we're privileged to be here broadcasting live from this amazing annual event. But that's not going to stop us from taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We want to dive into what you're thinking about in your financial life and tackle it through the lens of biblical wisdom. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We've got two lines open, and let's get started today. We're going to begin in Texas. Mike, you'll be our first caller. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning. I have an Good morning. I have a niece who has a 9-year-old daughter. And what is the best way to transfer a certain amount, a certain number of shares of stock, and in this case, it's an airline stock, which is down, to the 9-year-old in the 9-year-old's name? Should I open a trust or just transfer it in her name so that when she gets of age, she can maybe get an interest in trading stocks?
Yeah, interesting. So first of all, I love that you're doing this for your niece and you want to get her engaged in this process. The type of account is the first decision to make, Mike. So what you're describing in terms of this automatically becoming her asset at the age of majority, which is typically an 18 in most states, would be what's called a custodial account. And a custodial account is basically where the account would be open in her name, but because she's a minor, you could be, let's say, the person who's the primary individual on the account, but at the age of majority, it would automatically become her asset. She could do with it what she wants to at that point. Also, if any withdrawals take place, it has to be used for the benefit of the minor in that custodial account. That's the purpose of it. And, you know, if you want to handle this yourself in terms of perhaps you're making the investment selections until she's ready to do so, whether that means keeping this particular stock or stocks you have now or making changes, you would be considered a self-directed investor. You're making the directions as to how that should be managed. And if that's the case, you'll find that consistently the best highest rated custodial account brokerage firms would be Charles Schwab or Fidelity, probably are the two that will come up the most in terms of, you know, not having any recurring fees, not having any minimums, and giving you great support and service to be able to not only get the account open, get the stocks transferred over, but then if you need to make changes either through the app or the website or over the phone, you can do that pretty easily.
I see. So contact a brokerage. That would be my first contact then.
That's exactly right. You know, you could go online to Schwab or Fidelity, open that custodial account in just a few minutes online, and then you would just arrange to have those shares deposited into that account, either electronically or if you have the physical certificates, you'd have to mail them in.
Oh, that's great. I already have, for 25 years, I already had an account at Schwab, so I'm already dealing with them. I trade with them
great.
All the time.
Yeah.
And the shares are currently being held in a holding company called CompuServe. You might be familiar. So that's where they are right now. It's all electronic right now.
Yeah. So that'll make it really easy, Mike. Once that custodial account is open and you have the account number, you could just initiate an electronic transfer of those shares to be deposited in that new account.
Excellent. Great.
All right.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. God bless.
Absolutely, Mike. All the best to you, sir. Thanks for being on the program. Two lines open today, folks, here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, live from NRB this week. Back to the phones to Pennsylvania. Hi, Marie. Go ahead.
Yes. I was wondering what to do with inheritance money.
Okay.
At this
Tell
point,
me a little...
I don't have it.
Okay.
At this point, I do not have it. My parent is still living, but getting at a pretty high age, older age.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. And what will be coming away? Do you have a sense of what that inheritance will be?
We're talking probably a couple hundred thousand dollars.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the good news is that won't be. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
She has some certificates, and plus she has land to sell.
Ah, okay, yeah. And are you the executor of the estate, or is it someone else?
It is someone else.
Okay.
Yeah, three of us.
Okay, got it. Okay, very good. Yeah, so whatever debts need to be settled as a part of that, the executor would work through the probate court to settle the estate, and then as a part of that, once the estate is settled, then the distributions would occur for the inheritance to come to you, either in the form of certificates of stock or cash from the proceeds of the sale of the property, or both. Once you receive your portion, obviously you'll want to have a plan. And so I'm glad to hear that you're thinking about that now, Marie. Obviously, you want to be a wise and faithful steward of that money that will be entrusted to you as you will become the new steward of whatever is coming your way. What I would recommend is that you connect with an advisor. And I would actually take your time and perhaps interview two or three, if that's the direction you want to go, and find that person that is going to be, you know, able to walk alongside you in this process to help you think about how you might want to use the money, but most notably to invest it for you. And so together, that person would really understand with you what your goals and objectives are, what your values are as a believer, how this money then can be used in light of your God-given goals. And then out of that, an investment strategy would come, which can be as conservative as you want it to be, assuming that's the direction you wanted to go. And then you'd already have that relationship in place so that at the appropriate time, the accounts could be opened and then the inheritance you're receiving would be deposited. But you've already done kind of the work ahead of time with the advisor to get a plan so that there's not any guesswork. You already are comfortable with the strategy that's going to be deployed, and then it's just a matter of getting the assets transferred. Does that sound like what you might be looking for, or did you have something else in mind?
That is correct. That's what I needed to know, yes. Yeah, I needed a plan, yes.
Okay. So I think it's a great idea for you to start on that now. And what I would do is head to our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Right there at the top of the page, you'll see something that says find a professional. And if you just type in your city and state or zip code, you'll see a list of certified Kingdom advisors there in Pennsylvania. You could interview two or three, find the one that you believe to be the best fit, and go ahead and establish that relationship. The reason we trust the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation here at Faith and Finance is it's the only credential in the financial services industry around competence and experience and integrity, but also that these professionals have been trained and committed to bring a biblical worldview of financial decision making. And that's obviously really important to us, because this money that you will be entrusted is going to be your responsibility. And as a steward, you want to be found faithful in managing that. So we want someone who understands the heart of God to be able to walk alongside you. So again, just head to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And right there at the top of the page, it'll say find a professional. Hey, I appreciate you calling today, Marie. We are grateful that you got on the program. Folks, we've got one line open for your calls, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're live from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee all week, but still taking your calls. We'll head back to the phones here in just a moment. In the news today, some credit card holders could save several hundred dollars a year by switching to another card issued by a small bank or credit union. That's according to a new analysis by the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. It showed that in 2023, average interest rates were around, get this, 21%. And the biggest card issuers charged a typical rate that was about 8 to 10% more than that of smaller issuers. By those numbers, folks with a $5,000 balance could save $400 to $500 a year in interest just by switching to a smaller card issuer with a lower interest rate. This is especially important now because credit card balances are at an all-time high. The balance now average balance sits at $6,360, according to TransUnion. Of course, we always advise that you carry no balance on your credit cards. We only use them for budgeted items and pay them off. Now, if because of prior decisions, lifestyle spending beyond your means, you have a balance today, and it's more than $4,000, I recommend you contact our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They can help you lower those interest rates and get it paid off with one level monthly payment, not replacing the debt or taking out a new loan. That's my preferred way to get out of debt. But bottom line is, make sure you shop around before you sign up for these credit cards. Be careful with that balance transfer game. Let's get out of debt once and for all and stay there. The only way to do that is live on a budget within our means and have some cushion. But interesting data coming out from the CFPB here on credit cards. All right, all the lines are stacked up full, so let's get back to the phones. To Texas we go. Hi, Tina. How can we help you?
Hi. My brother and I are managing my mom's account because she can no longer do it. Well, we made the mistake of selling her car to my nephew. And once we sold it to him, we told him, hey, we'll do the title exchange, you know, as soon as you can. Well, he never got back with us, and he ended up having an accident, and the car was towed to a storage company. My question is, the fee is almost $700 now, and I don't know if I should just give them the title and clear that money, or if we should try and take the car and sell it for parts. It's a It's a 2002 car, but I want my mom's name cleared. Yeah. I did do a vehicle transfer because we couldn't get him to cooperate, but the title is still in her name.
Yeah. So you're right here. You do want to get this cleared up and not just continuing to hang out there, especially because these fees are probably continuing to accrue. Have you talked to the storage facility directly?
I did. I even tried to maybe get some money because they'll sell it for parts and get some money, you know, so I don't just give them the car. But they said no.
Yeah. Okay. Because typically, you know, they can take possession and sell property, you know, when you get 90 days past due. So that might be the direction they're headed anyway. You know, what you don't want is a deficient balance. So you want them to agree to, you know, consider that amount that's owed, paid in full, and get that in writing before you do anything. You know, it's really a matter of your time at this point on how much you want to investigate this, because what you may find is that if you can have it towed to a junkyard and sold off for parts, that you can end up coming out a few hundred dollars ahead, even while taking care of that $700 bill. You also may decide, listen, it's just not worth the hassle for me to have to deal with all of that and setting it up and, you know, having all these, you know, pieces moving around. And therefore, I think in that case, you may want to just give them the title. But again, I would get this in writing in advance that they're going to consider that balance paid in full when you give them the car.
Okay, so have them give me something in writing, a letter when I turn over the title to them that my bill is paid in full.
That's right, because otherwise you may turn it over to them and they say, listen, we didn't want it, and it's not enough to cover it. We don't want the hassle ourselves. And then you're going to need to figure out a way to get it paid, and that's probably going to be option two, which means get this towed somewhere where you can, you know, get some money from the parts at this point.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, Tina. All the best to you. I know this is a difficult situation, especially when family's involved. So I'm glad to hear you're being thoughtful about it. Call anytime. Let's go to Mississippi. Hi, Stephen. Go ahead, sir. Stephen, are you with us?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Basically, I was with a company, and they divested us, my group, out of the company to another company. And so I had a 401k that is now locked, and I don't have access in any way, form, or fashion to it. I think I can change the investment type, but I can't add to it. I can't even use it for emergencies. And until I quit with my current company, I don't have access to it. And so I had to start all over with a new 401k, and I was wanting to at least be able to use it for emergencies maybe, or get some of that into my new 401k with my new company. And two of my coworkers have done this. But when I call Fidelity, they tell me you have to be departed from your current company to do anything. So
let me make sure I understand.
Don't know where to go with this.
The 401k in question that you are quote unquote locked out of is with a previous employer. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And have you inquired about rolling that out either to an IRA or to your new 401k?
It's impossible to do because they have it locked up. It's the rules. That's what they're telling me. Yet I've had two other coworkers to get a portion, not the entire thing, but a portion of that out into their new 401k.
Well, yeah, something's not right, because a 401k is portable, and is certainly once you separate from employment, you can absolutely roll that out. So I'd get back in touch with that plan administrator and just let them know that you're transferring that account out and that you need the instructions on how to do that. Go ahead.
Both accounts are with Fidelity.
Let's do this. I've got to hit a break. Let's talk a bit more off the air. We'll be right back.
Many in the Middle East are going through horrific circumstances and are seeking refuge in Lebanon. Heart for Lebanon is bringing them hope, and now you can help.
We endured shelling and hunger. We witnessed death everywhere.
$116 brings emergency supplies and the hope that only comes through the gospel.
I want to spend the rest of my life telling people about Jesus and his salvation.
Give now at faithfi.com/Lebanon or call 888-201-5577.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom Advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
My grocery bill went up 11% this year. Gas, utilities, rent, all went up. But my paycheck, the same. I also pay for my own healthcare, a huge expense. A friend recommended Christian Healthcare Ministries as an option to insurance, and CHM helps pay for medical needs while allowing some breathing room in my budget. Open enrollment is here, so make the switch today with potential cost savings up to 40%. Christian Healthcare Ministries at chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So glad you're on with us today here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, live from NRB. That stands for National Religious Broadcasters. We're here at the annual convention in Nashville, Tennessee at the Gaylord Opryland, gathering together with media professionals and other broadcasters, learning and growing, but also just a great time of building community with one another. And delighted that we could bring you this program here from this annual gathering. But we're still taking your phone calls today. We've got a couple of lines open. We'd love to hear from you at 800-525-7000. You can call right now with your questions, financially speaking, 800-525-7000. Let's go back to the phones to North Carolina. Hi, John. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I have a question. I'm trying to create some the safest way passive income without too much risk. Do you need that mouse that we have?
Sure, yeah, that'd be helpful.
Well, I have like just 50,000 disposable, but maybe within a year I might have 150,000. And I was trying to create like 2,000 a month income.
Okay. And so if we think about an emergency fund first of 3 to 6 months expenses, and let's say you were to set that aside, how much do you think you would have to invest?
Well, right now, 50,000, and probably within a year, maybe 100,000.
Okay. And would that be in addition to your emergency?
I have everything. Yes, I have everything already good.
Okay. Yeah. And how much were you looking to pull from that per month?
2,000.
Yeah.
At least 1,000 to cover my regular maintenance bills, like water, utility, everything.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The challenge here, John, is that the numbers don't quite work in that scenario, in the sense that I love that you've got that emergency fund shored up, and I love that you want to put this, let's call it 100,000, to work. I realize you don't have all of that today, but you're expecting it. We would typically say, let's invest that in a way that makes sense based on your age and risk tolerance. And if you're trying to draw an income from it, you know, let's say it's 40 or 50% in stocks, the other, portion 50 or 60% in bonds or fixed income type investments. You know, the idea would be that, you know, you'd limit that withdrawal rate to 4 or 5% a year, but that's only $4,000 or $5,000. So you're looking to pull $1,000 a month, which is $12,000 a year. So now we're talking a 12% return just to stay even. Which means that you'd either have to take a lot of risk, a lot more than you'd probably be comfortable with, more than I certainly would be, or you're going to draw it down and, you know, you're going to deplete it over time. That, you know, over the next, let's say, 12 to 15 years, that account's going to be at zero. So I think the only other option is to try to reduce the amount that you're pulling from it, again, down to my target of maybe, you know, 400 a month, something like that. And then, you know, either continue working, try to, you know, find other sources of income so you don't pull so much out of this. In terms of what that might look like on the investment mix, unless you have the time and the experience to do it, I generally would think about hiring an advisor who could manage this for you, build a portfolio, again, that matches your age and risk tolerance with a goal of providing income. And, you know, typically that would be done through fixed income type investments, corporate and government bonds, probably on the shorter end of the duration, just because of the environment we're in right now economically. But the good news is there's very attractive yields right now because of where interest rates are. And then probably alongside that, a good mix of dividend paying stocks. So, you know, conservative type investments, equities, paying a dividend, and the combination of the appreciation of the stocks, the appreciation of the bonds, the underlying price of the bonds as interest rates fall over the balance of this year and next, on top of those dividend yields and the bond yields, you know, would give you a nice solid income base so that you could begin withdrawing it out. You know, I just wouldn't want you to take, you know, $1,000 a month on $100,000 without you understanding that you're headed toward, you know, this eventually being depleted. Does that all make sense?
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I have a Charles Schwab. Can I buy bonds through them or?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and with that amount of money, you typically would probably be thinking about a bond mutual fund as opposed to buying individual bonds. You could buy individual bonds, but often, you know, you might buy a bond mutual fund that has an attractive yield that matches the duration that you're looking for, again, on the short to medium term end, but it's spread across a lot of bonds, both corporate and government, and you don't have to make the individual bond selections. You just, you know, put it in that bond mutual fund. So, but either the direct purchase of the bonds or the bond funds would all be available through your Schwab account.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. That's good.
All right, appreciate John. It. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open and room for your questions between now and the end of the program. Let's go to beautiful North Carolina. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Good morning, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, what in the world is going on with this digital money? I try to listen to it, but they just keep going on, it seems like, forever, and I get so disgusted, I just shut it all down. I understand that the dollar is going to be no more, that we will have to, everything that we do will be through our bank account, but with a card, and they will know everything we do and what we do and how much we're spending, and they can stop at any time that we can get to our money. Right now, for some background, I'm 85, good health, still kicking. I have about $69,000 in the bank in savings, $20,000 in a 8-month 5% CD, and I have a credit card that I use mainly pretty much for most of my purchases, but I pay it off at the first of the month. So my cars are debt-free. I'm debt-free. My house is paid for. What do I do? What's coming with the so-called digital money?
Yeah. Well, Mary, first of all, if what you described played out, I would be very concerned as well. So I think you're justified in that. Is there a scenario where we move to a central bank digital currency The physical dollar is replaced by that, and therefore social controls could be implemented. You know, they could cut you off and say you've reached your limit for the month on fossil fuel purchases or something like that. Absolutely, that's possible. Is it likely, and will that occur in the near term? No. And here's why. Number one, everything that's being debated right now is still in a research phase. So we're still way off from this coming to pass. Number two, what's being discussed now is not a replacement for our current means of payment with the regular dollar. It's in addition to. Number three, it's deeply divided, and this is a congressional function. No, the executive branch can't create a central bank digital currency on their own, nor can the Treasury. It would take an act of Congress. And there's a lot of congressional leaders that are, for good reason, and you mentioned several of the reasons, are very much against this. And so it would be, I don't see that happening anytime soon. We even see some of the states getting out ahead of this. So, for instance, the state of Florida has said central bank digital currency doesn't comply with our uniform commercial code because, you know, they're saying we're not going to have this. A lot of red states are getting behind that as well. So I don't see this coming anytime soon. It's still very early. And it would take Congress and the president before it would ever happen. So here's what we need to do. Number one, we need to continue to pray. Number two, we need to show up and vote for leaders who understand this and wouldn't want that to play out. And even then, I think, it's still a long way down the road. So I think you're in good shape. I appreciate your call. Stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air. We'll be right back.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. Here in our final segment, we've got room for maybe one or two more questions. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You know, before we head back to the phones, why do we take an hour a day to talk about money? Is it so we can all make a lot more of it and load up our bank accounts? No, it's not that at all. It's that once we give our lives to Jesus, we're stewards then of our time and our relationships and our talents and God's word and yes, God's money. He entrusts to us the resources that we have, however much or however little, and our goal is faithfulness. Faithfulness in managing God's resources, understanding that we need to reflect the heart of the master as we handle his money. And so we look to scripture and we understand that money is one of God's good creations. But when we worship the creation over the creator, we're allowing it to occupy a place it was never intended to. And so we don't follow the cues of the world that say our self-worth is equal to our net worth. We find our identity in Christ, but money becomes a tool to accomplish his purposes. And when we keep it in that perspective, that good creation can do good things, like using it to meet the needs of our family, like enjoying it, like giving it generously and being involved in gospel work and culture transforming work, like when you give here to American Family Association. I mean, that's the opportunity we have when we put God's money in its proper context and use it wisely, living within our means, avoiding debt, setting long-term goals, giving generously, having some cushion or some margin in our financial life. It's not complicated. We just can't follow the cues of the world that would tell us, money will satisfy our needs for abundance and significance in a way it was never intended to by Creator God. And so each day we want to remind you that of this program, but then help you answer those practical questions you have related to your money management and do that through the lens of Scripture. So what are you thinking about today financially? Give us a call. We've got room for one or two more questions at 800-525-7000. Let's go to North Carolina. Andrew, you're next up, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for your call.
I just wanted to kind of talk about my retirement. I just turned 30 and we just had our second child. And the company that I work for, I put in 4%. It's kind of the baseline, and they match 4%. But my question is can I, maybe, I don't know, 5-10 years or even just a couple years to get ourselves, financially stable enough as far as our debts to, and then reinstate it? Is that something that would be feasible?
Yeah. So is the question you're asking, Andrew, whether you should delay putting more in until you get your financial house in order, or are you looking at cutting the 4%?
Cutting the 4%, just for a little while. I know that especially growing up in a biblical background, I've listened to the families talk about how they struggled a lot growing up and stuff like that. And I just want to kind of get the debt out of the way so we can focus on God, and not be strapped by the debt.
Yeah. No, I can certainly appreciate that. Give me a quick rundown of what debt you have.
I've got about $135,000 in debt. I've got $1,000 on a credit card, but everything else is a house payment. And then our two vehicles.
Yeah. Okay, very good. And when you service the debt and put the 4% in to your retirement and then live on the rest, do you have any cushion or margin left over at the end of the month?
Very minimal, especially with the diapers and all the small stuff now.
I get it.
It's probably closer to like $300 or $400 a month that I can put, on top of the bills. I don't have a 3-month cushion or, 6-month cushion right now, just cause I'd rather focus on taking care of the debt, which I guess kind of is my cushion.
Okay. Yeah. So a couple of thoughts here. I mean, if you were to say, listen, I've got $5,000 or $6,000 in credit card debt and it's continuing to grow cause we're living beyond our means, I'd say, yeah, let's do what we have to do and cut that to retirement account. I'd love to try to preserve that. I agree with you. Let's not push it up to the 10 or 15%. I'd love for you to get up to eventually right now, but I think getting that free money, that dollar for dollar match up to 4%, I mean, that's 100% return on your money. And I just don't want to give that up without kind of fighting against that if we can. Totally get what you're saying about being debt-free. The challenge is, paying off your house, especially with you being young, you're just starting your family. I mean, that's great. I'd love for you to be completely out of debt. The problem is, about the time you get the house paid off, maybe you're going to need to upgrade to something a little bit bigger as your family continues to grow. And you may find yourself over time giving up these really precious years of when you're working hard and compounding inside that retirement plan can be really powerful. And so I'd hate for you to continue to delay for, you know, years that become decades, the ability to put something away so you have a meaningful amount in retirement, as much as I love the idea of you being completely debt free. So I think at this point, what I would say is, you know, if we could look at areas to cut back, and I realize you're probably, there's not a whole lot there, and your expenses are increasing as your family grows, and I get that. But I'd probably focus on, let's get that credit card paid to zero, which hopefully you can do in a couple of months, given that you have a little bit of margin. And then let's get that emergency fund up to at least 1 month's worth of expenses, preferably three. And then I'd try to preserve that 4%. Don't do any more than that, but let's preserve that 4%, and then let's go to work on the cars at that point. But, you know, eliminating the contribution of the 401k just so you can focus on the cars and the house, you know, I just feel like the trade-off there, I'd rather see, unless you just have a real conviction from the Lord to be debt-free as soon as possible, I'd rather see you opt for the retirement contribution with the matching before I would pay off the car.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That sounds great. Oh, yes, sir. That sounds great. Now, especially with the recession and stuff coming, I don't have much in 401k, so I know that I've heard, you know, especially some kind of news about Germany or something yesterday. But how about, I mean, I got 40 years, 41 years till retirement. I mean, do you think that kind of system is still going to be around in 40 years? I mean, they always say that, I guess, but.
Yeah, I do. You know, if we were to have a major collapse of the economy or the stock market or the currency, the U.S. dollar, we'd have much bigger problems to deal with. And I think at this point, for you taking a long-term perspective, despite the challenges we have with the mounting the U.S. debt and the demographics, I mean, we're having less babies and, you know, that's going to be a challenge for us down the road. We're still the biggest and strongest economy in the world. We need leaders who understand God's design for economics and wealth creation. So it's important that we show up at the ballot box and cast our vote for those who understand a biblical worldview, including of money and economics. And we need to pray for God's continued protection. But I think, you know, all things being equal, you know, the very best way for you to overcome inflation is to continue to dollar cost average into the stock market, into the biggest companies in the world with real sales and earnings to grow your wealth. Because apart from that, there just isn't a second option, maybe other than real estate, for the average person to, you know, to build wealth over time.
Okay. Makes perfect sense.
All right. Very good. Hey, stay on the line. I'm going to send you a copy of Ron Blue's book, Master Your Money. I think it'll be an encouragement to you, and congrats on that second little one. We appreciate your call today. Quickly to Texas, our final caller today is Bill. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob. Thank you. I've heard you talk about this before, but it's been a while. We have, my wife and I each have a term life policy, a 20-year fixed term. They expire in October. I'll be 70 in May. She'll be 68 in October. I've retired pretty much, I guess. And I'm trying to decide, kind of racking my brain, my agent that we've had for years has given me quotes for new term life policies. They're 15 year, but they're more expensive, as you know, because you get older, they're more expensive.
Sure.
And she's even also given me a quote on whole life, and I don't think that's wise at all. But I'm just trying to determine, you know, we have other resources. We have a managed account with Morgan Stanley that has, you know, the portfolio of bonds and stocks. We have other savings and some other income. And I'm just want to make sure I'm being wise about this. I'm tempted not to purchase. I'm tempted to let them expire in October and trust the Lord that if something happened to me, my wife would be able to pay off the mortgage and live fairly comfortably, unless you think, get the insurance, and if something happened to you, the insurance could pay the mortgage off. Our mortgage is very reasonable. We hadn't paid off our house yet because we refinanced over the years, but our payment is like $904 a month, plus our taxes and insurance. But
And how far are you away from having that mortgage paid off?
Probably about 20 years.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we could,
yeah,
we
you know, you're right on the bubble there. I mean, the idea behind, as you described, term life insurance is we get it during our working years, and then we don't need it anymore because we have assets built up. So the question to ask is, would your wife be able to continue her lifestyle when you passed away, just based on the assets that you have and Social Security, which she'll be collecting down the road? And if not, then maybe you need a smaller, shorter term policy. Maybe you cut the death benefit and, you know, cut it to 10 years or something, and then you drop it, you know, 5 years in. I think the key is what would she do, you know, to cover her lifestyle? And if you're not quite there yet, perhaps that's where a smaller policy for a period of time that you could, you know, cut off as soon as you can, I think would be the way to go. But I wouldn't pay for it any longer than you have to. It served its purpose, maybe not entirely, but close to it. And so you're real close to not needing it at all. Unfortunately, I'm out of time here, but hopefully that helps you, Bill. We appreciate you being on the program, sir. God bless you. Folks, on behalf of my team today, Robert Youngblood, Adam Suddeth, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry, I'm Rob West, live from National Religious Broadcasters Convention. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Thanks for joining us today, and hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.